Today's scripture comes from Mark 4, 35 through 41 and Mark 5, 1 through 20. Both can be found in the Pew Bible on page 871. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over the other side," leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obeyed him.
Jesus and his followers went across the lake to the region of the Gerasene people. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man came to him from the caves where dead people were buried. This man who lived in the caves had an evil spirit living in him. No one could tie him up, not even with a chain. Many times people had used chains to tie the man's hands and feet, but he always broke the chains off. No one was strong enough to control him. Day and night he would wander around the burrow caves and on the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. While Jesus was still far away, the man saw him. He ran to Jesus and knelt down before him. Jesus said to the man, "You evil spirit, come out of that man." But the man shouted in a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, promise God that you will not punish me." Then Jesus asked the man, "What is your name?" The man answered, "My name is Legion, because I have many spirits in me." The man begged Jesus again and again not to send the spirits out of that area. A large herd of pigs was eating on a hill near there. The evil spirits begged Jesus, "Send us to the pigs, let us go into them." So Jesus allowed them to do this. The evil spirits left the man and went into the pigs. The herd of pigs rushed down the hill into the lake and were drowned. There were about 2,000 pigs in that herd. The men who took care of the pigs ran away. They went to the town and to the countryside, telling everyone about this. So people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who had the many evil spirits. The man was sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. The people were frightened. Some people were there who saw that Jesus had done. They told the others what had happened to the man who had the demons living in him. They also told about the pigs. Then the people began to beg Jesus to leave the area. Jesus was getting ready to leave in the boat. The man who was freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus would not allow the man to go. Jesus said, "Go home to your family and friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man left and told the people in the 10 towns about the great things Jesus had done for him. All the people were amazed.
Has a storm ever caught you out in the open? Have you ever been on a boat out in the middle of a lake when those winds just caught up to you faster than you could get to the shore? Have you ever been hiking in the woods when a sudden rainstorm blows overhead and catches you in the midst of the downpour? Have you ever been buckled down in your house in the midst of a hurricane as those strong winds rush over your home? Have you ever been out on the highway and seen a tornado in the distance and wondered, "Can I get away from it?" You think about these situations and what happens. We realize how small we are. We realize that there are environmental forces that are great, beyond our control, and we are small and insignificant, and our lives are on the line. What do we start doing in these kinds of situations? Have you ever found yourself negotiating with God in those moments? Saying, God, if I can make it back to shore, or if I can avoid that tornado, or if that tree does not fall on my house when that wind is blowing out there, then I will. Let me give you an example from church history of a famous individual who found himself in a situation like that. The man's name is Martin Luther. He's one of those core reformers that gave us the Protestant Reformation. This will be early in his life, in his young adult years, when he's training. His dad wants him to become a lawyer, essentially, and he has completed his master's degree. He's enrolled himself in law. He's gone home for vacation, and now it's time for him to go back to school. And while he's traveling to the university, he gets caught out in the middle of the field during a thunderstorm. We think about all the ways we insulate ourselves from thunderstorms in our cars, in our houses, in buildings made of concrete. So sometimes we don't recognize the raw power that is out there. But if you're in the middle of a field and lightning is flashing and it strikes the tree that's right next to you and it knocks you to the ground, that's the situation Luther was in, and at that point he made a vow. I will become a monk. He's on the ground, he picks himself up, he survives, he goes on back to the university, he starts thinking about his vow. So many of us like to pull those back when life resumes. But Luther kept his, much to the chagrin of his father. He had one last hurrah with his pals at law school, and then the next day entered the monastery. When you think about that radical change in his life, it would never have happened without that storm, without his negotiation, without his facing it and coming out on the other side, and it radically changed the trajectory of his life. He would become a monk, a priest, a professor of theology, and a Protestant reformer, rather than a lawyer. And we think about storms in our own lives, the way we negotiate and try to work through them. So often we throw our hands up and we are at the mercy of the powers that are around us. What do we do in these moments? We come to these two passages in the Gospel of Mark. The first one is a literal storm, and the second one is a metaphorical storm, and we'll draw those connections in a little bit. But the first situation, Jesus has been out among the people. We've spoken before about how exhausting that is for him, how he likes to pull aside and to retreat. This is after a long day of it, a long day of preaching and teaching and healing and touching people and hearing their concerns. Now he hops into the boat and his disciples take it out across the sea. Jesus goes down into the heart of the boat and goes to sleep. The disciples are out there. We think about the fishermen among them who know how to pilot their boats. They're out there minding their own business when suddenly the clouds start covering up the sky, covering up the moon. The winds start blowing, the waves start moving, the waves get bigger and they start washing over the boat, and the disciples are doing everything they can to try to hold it together. But even these seasoned seamen start to worry. They know that Jesus has performed miracles, But at this point, in this desperation, they run down into the center of the boat and they pull Jesus awake and they say, "Don't you care what's going on?" At that point, Jesus, of course, goes out, offers commands to the winds, and they stop blowing. The rain stops falling. The waves recede, and everything is as still as glass. At that point, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, "How are you cowards? Where is your faith?" Can you imagine being a disciple at that point? We think about all the wonderful moments of traveling with Jesus and learning with Jesus, but here, the embarrassment, the shock, wondering what in the world is going on. And even the Gospel of Mark tells us, they say, "Well, who is this? Even the winds and the rains obey, the sea obeys him." It's easy for us to judge the disciples. But where would we have been on that dark, stormy night? We think about our own lives and the patterns that we follow. We would be fine just going ahead with our lives, and Jesus can be asleep in the boat. That's fine for much of our lives. But then when the storms come, when things start falling apart, when our very life is threatened, what do? We run to Jesus, shake him, and say, "Do you care? Do you care? Are you doing anything about this?" And then Jesus turns to us and says, "Where is your faith?" We think about these moments, storms, literal storms. We think about the world around us, so many things that we do not control, many things that threaten us, many things that send a shiver down our spines, if we're honest. So many things to make us fear and wonder what is going on and where God is. So that's the first example. The second example comes later, after they've gotten off the boat and traveled into this new territory. And what happens there is they come across an unusual character. And this is one of those stories in the Bible that is difficult to interpret. And you can see people offering different interpretations, offering explanations, talking about mental instability and our concepts of that today. But I don't think we need to move into that territory to understand this passage. The situation is that this man has been an ongoing disturbance for this community for years. And they have tried their best to contain him, to hold him down. The text says he has manacles on his wrist. They've tried to chain him. But he's a strong man, and he breaks these chains, which of course makes the people even more afraid of his presence among them. And you think about this. If you were to go outside the church and walk around the graveyard here, and suddenly out of the corner of your eye you spot movement, and you turn and you see this man sitting at the base of one of these graves with a rock cutting into himself, and blood's pouring everywhere, and then he pops to his feet and he marches towards you and he screams, what are you going to do? You think about it, that's the kind of man that is here. We, of course, would try to institutionalize him, isolate him away from us. But here, he's isolated himself in the cemetery. And people know about this and they don't want to go anywhere near this. But Jesus does. The man is storm incarnate. Okay? You think about that. If we draw any sort of parallels to a human situation, if we had a human equivalent of a natural storm, this man fits the bill. Chaos all around him. But when Jesus approaches him, what does he do? He runs and bows before Jesus. Jesus has a conversation with the evil spirits that are in him, and then he drives them out into the pigs, and they run off a cliff. And this is a bizarre detail. Many of us read this passage and we wonder, what in the world is going on here? Those of us who are hungry say, wasn't that a waste of a lot of bacon? But for the Jewish community, they would not have eaten those pigs. Those pigs would have been unclean animals, and that's the connection. They're unclean animals. Jesus sends unclean spirits into unclean animals, and then they go off the cliff. But then there are some other details here. We see Jesus' authority, obviously, when the spirits come and the man bows down before Jesus. And then Jesus drives them out. There's authority here, just like authority over the wind and the waves. Here now, over these unclean spirits that were pushing this man into these dangerous and destructive patterns. Jesus drives those evil spirits out. But the text tells us there was an audience. There were people taking care of those pigs. They see this happen, and then they run into town to tell everyone. They say, guess what we've seen? They relate it, and everybody in the town says, no way. They run out, and one of the biggest surprises of all, when they come, they find the man sitting next to Jesus. No longer wide-eyed, no longer screaming and howling, no longer cutting himself, but now in a civil, peaceful conversation with Jesus. He has calmed that storm. And these people, just like the disciples on the boat witnessing the winds and the waves going still, these people say, how can this be? And what do they then do? They say, get out of town, Jesus. We don't want you here. We don't understand this. You scare us. Go. The only one who really seems concerned about that and wants to put the brakes on that is the man who found healing at the feet of Jesus. And he says, Jesus, I want to go with you. Make me one of your disciples. But in one of those turns, a poetic turn, Jesus says, you need to stay here. You need to share the miracle with the people that have seen you as a madman. You need to share peace with the people that previously were terrorized. And so we see these two examples of Jesus facing storms. The environmental storm, a literal storm, where he brings the winds and the waves to peace. And then the metaphorical storm of this man whose life is chaos, a maelstrom, a tempest. And now that is calm, and he knows what peace is. And so we today read these passages, and we as Christians ask ourselves, how do we handle the storms of life? How do we handle those moments in life where everything seems to be falling apart? One bad thing happens after another. There's a flood that comes in and destroys our home. Or a situation where we come across someone in an inner city and the person mugs us and we become the victim of domestic crime. And we wonder how we're going to handle these situations. We ask ourselves, if we are followers of Jesus, how do we approach Jesus in the storms of our lives? Is it a moment of desperation calling on someone that we've just let sleep for most of our lives? Or is it a time when we are calling on someone who is crucial to our life? We have been a disciple. We are growing closer to Jesus on a daily basis. Let me leave you with one more story from our Protestant reformer ancestors. Perhaps you know John Wesley. John and Charles Wesley were instrumental in starting the denomination that we know of as the Methodist Church. There was also a crucial time early in his life. He had been part of the Anglican Church. He had been raised by a faithful mother. And so when he entered his young adult years, it's natural for him to start thinking about being a missionary, mission work. He's in England, and he sets his sights on the colonies. And he sets his sights on Georgia. And no jokes about how Georgia could still be a missionary front. But certainly John and Charles Wesley thought that at that point. And we had him in 1735 going to Georgia. While on that trip, he's out at sea. And that's one of those dramatic moments. If you're out at sea and you get caught in the midst of the storm, they didn't have the benefits of modern technology to let them know where the storm was. They get caught out in the midst of the storm, and people on the boat around John Wesley worrying about whether they're going to survive. And even one family brings to him a little infant and says, "Can you baptize him? Because we think we're going to die." In the midst of this, there's another group of Christians. They happen to be Moravians, which is another branch of the Protestant Reformation going back to John Huss. But the Moravians were in the center of the boat. And they were praying and they were singing hymns. They showed no signs of the desperation of everyone else on the boat. And John Wesley looked at them, and then he looked at his fellow English passengers, and he said, "Something's missing in my life." It would lead him on to a quest throughout the rest of his life that would lead to the reforms that would influence so many people. But for us, do we ask ourselves, has the peace of Christ come upon us? And can we face life's storms, even if they come to the points where the boat sinks or the crazy person may martyr us? Can we find peace even in the midst of these situations? That's what these verses communicate to us today. We have our fears. There's much to be afraid of in this world. But Jesus is Lord of them. Jesus has gone through the storms, and Jesus will guide us through the storms of this life so that we can face them and find a glorious reward another day. This morning, we come to a time of invitation and commitment, a time for you to consider where Christ is in your life. Have you let Christ come into your life to calm the storms that rage, the storms that arise from our own manipulations and our sinful quest to be first in this life? It is a moment for you to make commitments to follow Christ. It is a moment also for those of you who have already made that commitment to renew and refresh your devotion to Jesus. As we stand together and sing hymn number 712, "Be Still My Soul."